are now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. As we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks with increasing intensity, we are now in the proverbial war for the future. The future is not, under any circumstances, the future is not to be perceived as some far-off event or series of events coming to us from beyond space and time, coming to us from beyond the present moment. This entire concept that we are waiting or we are entering some kind of future from a place that we could loosely call the present moment, that is a fallacy. It's a fallacy in thinking that belonged to previous ages. The technological revolutions of the last 100 years have been so revolutionary that they have completely redesigned humanity, humanity's institutions, humanity's identity, and the progression of what has happened has accelerated to such an extent that our very DNA, our very genetic code, is now in increasing statistical numbers. Our DNA is no longer human DNA. In an amazing percentage of human beings, and that percentage is debatable, but people who have exposed themselves to various procedures have allowed, whether they realized it or not, they have allowed their DNA to be altered. And what that constitutes is the modification of their DNA. So when women get pregnant, they are now potentially giving birth to what could be called non-human DNA or non-human genetic offspring or babies, hybrid human beings. And by hybrid human beings, we mean the babies that they're giving birth to are a hybrid species. They are technically, scientifically, and theologically, they cannot be categorized any longer as being 100% authentic human DNA or human children or human babies. Because once you modify the DNA code or the genetic code of a human baby, you no longer have a legitimate, authentic human being. You now have what's called a hybrid human being. And it's not even a human being, so let's call it for what it really is. It's a hybrid species. So the floodgates are open all over planet Earth, and women, by the millions, whether they know it or not, are potentially giving birth to a hybrid species of what they really are is synthetic human beings, commonly known as synthes, S-Y-N-T-H-I-E-S, or synthetic human beings. They're synthetic human beings because their DNA code upon examination is not the DNA code of a fully human human being. It's the DNA code of a hybrid species. Just like when you read the Bible and you go back in time, there have been numerous time periods throughout human history where the fallen angels descended upon Earth, such as Mount Hermon, such as in the time just before the flood of Noah. And the fallen angels lusted after the human women. They wanted to marry the human women. They wanted to have physical relationships with the human women. And so they did that in rebellion from God. And of course, the women were rebelling from God. Now, when these human women with human DNA had sexual intercourse with non-human fallen angels that are entirely absent of human DNA, They produced a hybrid species, which was an illicit mixture of human DNA and non-human DNA. So these creatures, this proliferation of creatures, produced millions of, let's just call them something else, produced millions of entities or beings or synthetic human beings that can't be categorized or qualified as being human beings. They have become an entirely different hybrid species through the illicit coming together of human being DNA, like authentic human female DNA, that mixes with authentic non-human DNA or synthetic DNA, as in the case of the fallen angels. When a fallen angel of whatever ranking, mates with a human female, the human female possesses authentic human female DNA. When she has relationships or a relationship with a non-human fallen angel, the fruit of the offspring is now no longer an authentic human being. It is now a synthetic human being, an artificial human being with either artificial or synthetic DNA or artificial or synthetic genetic codes. Now, that is, in terms of its magnitude, is revolutionary. But if we are deep diving students of the Word of God, this should not surprise us. The only people that get angry when you talk about this, the only people that have, you know, little fits and many nervous breakdowns, and believe me, I'm very well acquainted with that kind of behavioral change, because I've had countless numbers of grown men and grown women, many of them who are professors of theology or attempting to go on and become a professor of theology or get their master's in theology. And I've had the privilege, because I have had the favor of major Christian leaders who endorsed me over the years, men like Dr. Jack Hayford, the founder of the Church on the Way and the founder of the King's College and Seminary, and many other great men of God like Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel and Dr. D. James Kennedy and others. So in any case, I would lecture, I would be given time, as other professors were, to lecture to the pastors and those seeking a higher knowledge of the Bible at a Christian seminary and college. So I would lecture to the to people who were, many of them were pastors, they were all Christian leaders, and they were seeking to further develop their understanding. The problem is that some of these men and women who walk through the door not with a teachable spirit, but they walk through the door with a chip on their shoulder, with a built-in bias. So even before they heard me say a word, and even though I was fully endorsed by Dr. Jack Hayford and others of great prominence, they had heard about me and they had a bias or a chip against me. And the reason for that was they did not like my position on what the Bible has to say on the sexual relationships between fallen angels and human women and the production of a hybrid race of synthetic human beings or artificial human beings. And that really bugged them. And other things that I said, you know, really bugged them. And you know, if in case you don't know me personally, I make an effort to be congenial. I make an effort to be diplomatic. I make an effort to be a bridge builder. But that doesn't mean I will sacrifice facts, history, solid biblical knowledge. I'm not going to sweep that under the table to appease some Christian leader who's seeking to get a higher education in the Bible. I'm not going to throw in the garbage, you know, my 45 years of intensely studying the Bible and theology. I'm not going to chuck it in the garbage to appease instant microwave Christian pastors who have spent zero time, zero energy, and basically zero studying, and yet they make a snap conclusion that in their 5-second assessment of my message and research, they attempt to dismiss me. Well, I'm not going to put up with that, and it's not an ego thing, it's a matter of integrity. I've spent decades studying these subject matters. They haven't even spent 10 minutes studying these subject matters. So it's on the basis and the foundation of integrity in studying, in researching, in gaining the endorsement of some of the most leading Christian leaders in the world. I've done my homework. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to surrender that to some person who has an axe to grind and who is upset with something, not because what I'm saying is factually untrue, not because what I'm saying is biblically incorrect. Their problem with me is basically this. What I'm telling them is not intended to be a threat, but represents a threat to them because I am teaching them biblical truth on a deeper level, biblical truth that's applicable to our advanced science fiction-like age. And I've done my homework, I've done my research, and I'm not willing to surrender that territory to some guy or girl that has an axe to grind, but they have done zero substantive research and work. So they're challenging me, but they're challenging me on the basis of not knowing what they're talking about. And again, that's not arrogance. It's a truthful observation. So this guy attacks me. I mean, they're very rude, which tells you what spirit they're of, by the way. So in a very rude manner, I'm speaking to about 500 Christian pastors and leaders and people getting their PhDs, and I was awarded as an adjunct professor. I was awarded being a professor of eschatology or Bible prophecy. I was awarded the position of an adjunct professor teaching ecclesiology or the study of the church and things like Israel and Bible prophecy. So when I'm challenged, I will politely defend myself as long as the discourse is on a level of politeness and mutual respect. But if the person that nobody knows who they are, they have no reputation, but they're just going to stand up and essentially go berserk, I'm not going to be their soft target for today. And I will warn them. And I will challenge them and ask them questions like, how much time have you spent studying the subject matter? And it'll always, once you apply pressure in that area, they'll always end up admitting that they've spent like zero time studying it. Okay, so this was a difficult and still is a difficult concept for Christians who have not done their homework to teach on. I still get attacked for teaching on it. There's a particular gentleman, I won't even waste my time mentioning his name, but viciously attacked me and did all kinds of things because I maintain the position that you've heard me maintain, because it's the biblical position. The alternative theological position to the fallen angels mating with human females and producing a hybrid race, the alternative theological position is that, well, it plays out like this. in the last 100 years or so, maybe longer, the Christian church has rejected sound doctrine, biblical Christianity, which includes the numerous accounts of the fallen angels mating with human females and producing a hybrid race of non-human genetic beings or artificial and non-human DNA beings. Okay, so on a technical level, they're no longer human, and they're no longer human because their DNA has been corrupted. They no longer have authentic human DNA. Now, this is of vital, vital importance because the whole basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole basis of salvation, is built upon this premise. You and I, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the apostles, we witness the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the only people that can be authentically and legitimately saved after hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being presented, the only people that have the potential of being legitimately saved are those individuals who, after hearing the biblical message of salvation by faith, respond to the biblical message of salvation by faith and actually put their faith in the Word of God. In other words, they receive the Word of God as truth. They allow the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins, and then they repent of their sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and they put their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and then they invite Christ in prayer after repenting to Jesus in prayer. They invite Christ in prayer to come into their lives and make them born again. So when that happens, the Spirit of God goes into their inner man or inner woman, and they are regenerated from within inside by putting their faith in the saving message of Jesus Christ. So then they become regenerated by the Spirit of God. When they're regenerated by the Spirit of God enters their inner man or inner woman, and they are legitimately born again because the Spirit of God takes up residence in their inner man or woman, and they are born again. And because they are born again, and the legitimate and biblical Holy Spirit comes inside of them and makes them brand new creatures in Christ Jesus, they are born again. And they are brand new creatures in Jesus Christ. And because of their faith, they are guaranteed entrance into the kingdom of heaven because they're born again. Now, the Bible teaches us over and over again that salvation is only available to those men and women who have accepted Jesus Christ into their lives and by faith have become born again. These individuals who by faith have become born again, then they become brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. They are born again, and that means their sins have been forgiven by faith, and they are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And because they're born again, they are legally entitled to entering into the kingdom of heaven. They will get a brand new glorified body. The moment they die and open their eyes, they'll be standing before Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven as brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And they will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. And so this is an incredible thing. But this offer of salvation going back to Adam and Eve and afterwards, this offer of legitimate biblical salvation as a free gift from God, acquired exclusively by faith, is only available to those Christians who have come to Jesus and have invited Jesus to forgive them of their sins and have invited Jesus to come into their hearts and minds and make them born again. Why? Because when they have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, they are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus, and therefore they can be saved. So that's the foundation of the entire matter, and this is the culmination of the great war that you and I are involved in now for the hearts and souls of mankind. What is this great spiritual war about? It's a spiritual war in which the devil or the demons or Satan is attempting to blind men and women from seeing the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Conversely, if you put your faith in the saving message of Jesus Christ, you can be legitimately born again, and that's what happens. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. My name is Paul McGuire. We're going to dig deeper and expose the secret of some of the hidden technologies that are erupting on planet Earth right now, and what is our responsibility in the light of these hidden technologies? What is our responsibility in terms of the preaching of the gospel in light of the emergence of hidden technologies? Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us, and we'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. So there has been a massive acceleration in terms of science, technology, and then most importantly, there has been the resurgence, or let us call it the rebirth, of lost ancient secret truths, where once upon a time, among the super civilizations that existed on planet Earth, some of them may have been real, some of them may have been legendary, like Atlantis, or ancient Egypt, or the Grecian Roman Empire, or the Roman Empire, Mayan Roman Empire, Aztec Empire, all these empires throughout human history. And in all of these empires throughout human history, there wasn't this artificial distinction and artificial separation of science, and then you would have a different category, and the different category would be the illicit combination or mixture of human females with authentic human female DNA mating with fallen angels with fallen angel DNA. When those two different species come together, you have the production of a non-human species. And a non-human species genetically, you see, the proof of whether a species is human or not is in its genetic code. It's in its DNA code. It's in its genetic code. So whether or not a person is a real human being determines whether or not they have the potential of being saved and whether or not they can enter into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy eternal life with Jesus Christ. That is all contingent upon whether or not the person that is saying that they're putting their faith in Christ, they must have 100% human DNA. It can't be mixed with fallen angel DNA, because the law of God, beginning in Genesis, going all the way through the book of Revelation, the law of God clearly states that salvation is only available to human beings whose DNA is 100% human. You can't have a corrupted genetic code and enter the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a very, very important point, because the entire gospel of Jesus Christ is preached when we're called to win souls for Christ, when we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel and lead people to Jesus. Probably the most important thing that you can do as a Christian. Now, you either do it directly by using your own mouth and words and loving somebody on a one-to-one basis, but that's not always possible in today's anti-Christian society. You could get fired from many jobs because you tried to witness to somebody. So the opportunity for you to personally share Christ is very constricted. Now, but God still holds you responsible for leading people to Jesus Christ. And so if you can't do that at your job or wherever you work or in the military, in the government, where there's all these rules prohibiting the preaching of the gospel. So you can't do that. So what you can do is God gives you the opportunity of partnering with believers in Jesus Christ, men and women of God, who have been called by God and have been given the freedom by God to preach the gospel and win people to Jesus Christ. And so when you choose to partner with somebody in an evangelistic ministry or a teaching ministry, somebody like myself, Paul McGuire, Paul McGuire Ministries, when you partner with me financially and with your prayers, then it is a partnership. And the result of the partnership is that God allows you to share in the blessing that he gives to people who are faithful to win souls to Jesus Christ. So when you are partnering with a minister like myself, and we're winning people to Jesus Christ, well, the factual truth is, it is we, not me, it is we who are winning people to Jesus Christ. And that's why I always give you the opportunity to win people to Jesus Christ through your financial contributions, your donations, your prayers, and things of that nature. That way, you are obeying God, you're winning people to Christ, you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are fulfilling the Great Commission. It's just that you're doing it in partnership with other believers, such as myself, which is perfectly fine, because we are both in the supernatural body of Christ. And as you know, just because I've been called to be a minister, that doesn't give me some kind of higher status. In fact, being called to be a minister or an evangelist of the gospel of Jesus Christ places me under a higher level of accountability before God and a higher level of accountability in being faithful to win people to Jesus Christ. Okay, so the bottom line is, you share Christ, but only those men and women whose DNA is 100% human being DNA. It is only those men and women who can enter the kingdom of God. It is only those men and women who can become born again, and that's an essential part. So this great reset revolution, which was formerly called the New World Order, and the New World Order has for thousands of years been described as a coming one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. It began initially to emerge in ancient Babylon during what was called Mystery Babylon under the rule of Nimrod. And the people of ancient Babylon received fallen angel technology. They built the Tower of Babel. They functioned and acted organizationally as one. That's why they accomplished so much. And yet God knew there was something rotten going on in ancient Babylon. So God came down to inspect ancient Babylon, to check out ancient Babylon. And what God saw for himself was the fact that the people of ancient Babylon, they were not worshiping God in their hearts. The people of ancient Babylon were actually worshipers and followers of Lucifer. So ancient Babylon was a super civilization city. The people, because they were one and receiving demonic technology, occult technology, they were given instructions on how to build the Tower of Babel or Babel. And the Tower of Babel or Babel was simply an interdimensional portal which allowed the fallen angels and the demons and the principalities and powers to move out of the spiritual dimension and into the physical earth world dimension. And so God was not pleased with the people of ancient Babylon because at that time they were unified. They spoke one language. Again, organizationally, they functioned as one. but God could tell that in their hearts, the people of ancient Babylon were worshiping Satan or Lucifer, because that's why they built their New World Order or their one world government, their one world religion, or their one world economic system. They were building the kingdom of Satan, which Satan and the false prophet and the people of the Great Reset are in the exact same repeat mode as the original ancient Babylonians. Because right now, the people of Mystery Babylon, that occult religion, are doing everything they can to build a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system, and create a state where Lucifer rules and reigns. And then on top of that, Lucifer and the demons gave the people of ancient Babylon, including Nimrod, all kinds of highly advanced technology, including interdimensional portals or stargates, which allowed for the entrance and the departure of high-level fallen angels to come into the physical earth realm. And so we see, because it's in the last days, this new world order is ramping up once again. And once again, we see the satanic technology, and once again, God comes down and he has to judge it. Okay, but there's more than that. All of this is moving along at a very accelerated rate. So we have to understand a historical parallel, an historical spiritual principle that continually repeats itself throughout ancient and modern history. And that is, when you really study history, and I write all about this for you, I open it up for you in a very deep way, but a very fast-moving and easy-to-consume way, in my books like A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, The Greatest Battle, The Day the Dollar Died, Mass Awakening, Power from On High, Conquering the Matrix, and the many other books. And I teach over and over again on the reality of Mystery Babylon emerging and rising in our lifetime with, now this is the key truth here that many Christians overlook, with the help, the energy, the knowledge, and the empowerment of super intelligent fallen angels, very advanced fallen angels, the same fallen angels who descended upon Mount Hermon, the Enochian angels, written about in the Book of Enoch. And remember, when the 200 fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon, those fallen angels looked upon human women with sexual desire, and those fallen angels mated with human women, producing a hybrid race, which was an illicit mixture between fallen human female DNA and the DNA of the fallen angels. So 200 fallen angels descend down upon Mount Hermon. They begin to mate with the human women, producing the genetic offspring, the hybrid race. But in addition to that, as is often the case when mankind is visited by the fallen angels, these fallen angels distribute and give and instruct and teach mankind on how to use, how to build, how to construct these very, very highly advanced, super futuristic weapons, super futuristic technologies, super futuristic genetics and DNA, and super weapons, super flying machines. I mean, think about the level of technology that it was needed in order for them to build the Tower of Babel, which was a interdimensional stargate. I mean, that's a massive jump in the advancement of science and technology. And so the fallen angels taught mankind advanced mathematics, black physics, time travel, reverse engineering, things like remote viewing, how to build all kinds of advanced scientific, science fiction-like futuristic technologies. Metalworking to build advanced shields and swords and chariots. Literal flying machines, like UFOs that could transport troops all across planet Earth. And they were able to build these super civilization buildings that took the form of the Great Pyramids, that took the form of the Tower of Babel, that took the form of the Mayan and Incan temples. And these super civilizations became the home for these advanced hybrid races. And so these advanced hybrid races had a genetic code that was a mixture of human and non-human DNA. And they instructed mankind with architecture, biology, genetics, eugenics, scientific warfare. They were able to tap into a whole variety of super weapons and utilizing super natural and super powered, like laser beam weapons, Tesla technology weapons, and highly, highly advanced science fiction like technologies and science fiction like sciences. And this was given to them by the Enochian angels out of the Book of Enoch, and it was given to mankind on Mount Hermon and other places like Egypt, the whole what I call Egyptian pharaoh god king system. The other empires throughout history had this phenomenal technology that they put to use. So we're seeing a repetition of all of that in our lifetime. Okay, so the European Parliament, the European Union, along with UNESCO, let me read to you what Gabriela Ramos, UNESCO's Assistant Director for Social and Human Sciences, stated on July 13, 2023, quote, "We are on a path to a world in which algorithms will enable us to decode people's mental processes and directly manipulate the brain. The brain mechanisms underlying their intentions, emotions, and decisions." Which means they will be able to totally control people's thoughts, mind, and human brain. Now, the commander of UNESCO, Cornelius van der Klauw from the Royal Netherlands Navy, an expert from strategic communications and information operations, NATO Joint Warfare Center, wrote in an article in 2023, "The reason why cognitive attacks go unnoticed by their targets is that cognitive activities bypass the conscious mind and directly target the subconscious of a person. Most of our decisions are made by our subconscious. Cognitive attacks are not science fiction anymore. They are taking place already now. Neural technology can be used to bring nano-sized robots close to a neuron via the bloodstream and make it possible to link the human brain directly, not intercepted by our senses, to a computer, making use of artificial intelligence in the process. Warfare is no longer purely a military concept. It has become much broader and more complex. In the future, there will only be one rule in warfare, which is there are no rules. While other domains can provide tactical and operational victories, the human domain is the only domain in which we can secure a full victory. It is our hope that you will not vote in favor of a future whereby great powers will fight to control the brains of the world population. It is our hope that we will not vote in favor of a future whereby great powers," I'm repeating myself, "will fight to control the brains of the world population. For detailed augmentation, see the following articles: The Effects of Pulsed Microwaves and Extra Low Frequency Electromagnetic Waves on Human Brains. Governments routinely classify information pertaining to the manipulation of human nervous systems. The dignity of human beings and their personality, neurotechnology, and the manipulation of the human nervous system, saving freedom and democracy. Open letter to the European Union and the governments around the world. This is where we're going with lightning speed. We're going into a future that will be radically different than the present world that we live in. Now, so the question is, are ordinary people adequately prepared to live and to live victorious in such a future? And then furthermore, when it comes to the Christian community and to the evangelical Christian community, is that group of people adequately prepared to deal and navigate and be victorious in this kind of radical futuristic world? Because this radical futuristic world has already engulfed us. And it's time that we do everything that we possibly can to get up to speed. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And we will continue in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Okay, so let's look at how we apply these highly advanced technologies and sciences all over the world, especially with the Great Reset. How does it apply in the real world? Now, Dr. James Giordano talks about the brain is the battlefield of the future, and he's a military scientific warfare expert, a genius, if you will. And he is equipping his students, many of them have careers in the military, to fully comprehend the ramifications of this level of advanced futuristic warfare. Now, Christians, you know, I would venture to say that the overwhelming majority of Christians going to Christian schools, whether they're colleges or universities or whatever, are zero equipped to deal with the radical changes that are literally pounding on the door of our society. And we need to change that immediately, because if we don't change it immediately, we are going to suffer devastating losses regarding futuristic warfare. Okay, Dr. Giordano talks about directed energy and how it can be and is being weaponized. Individuals' brains can be targeted by microwaves, the type of 5G and soon to come 5G, of which you see antennas growing like mushrooms all over the world. They tell you it is to make your internet and ever more sophisticated computers and smartphones faster with much more outreach capacity and to help advance digitation. That's what you're being told, but that's not what's happening. This may all be true to some extent, but the real reason behind these microwave towers is to target you, the individual. Why? From other sources, we know the fourth industrial revolution is in full implementation. Klaus Schwab, the CEO of the World Economic Forum, published his book, Shaping the Fourth Industrial Revolution, in 2018. In it, he writes about such significant topics as embedding values in technologies, the Internet of Things, data, ethics, artificial intelligence, and robotics, and a special chapter on altering the human being. Now, this is the focal point of this cybernetic revolution. It's the complete alteration of the human being. In this chapter, Schwab addresses biotechnologies and neurotechnologies, transhumanism, precisely the science that Dr. Giordano was talking about in 2018 at the West Point Military Academy, and which is in full implementation. If we connect the dots, we realize that the brain as the battlefield of the future is now. and that we were warned way ahead. According to Dr. G. Adorno, the science of neurotechnologies has started some 40 years ago, and he, G. Adorno, has been part of it for at least 35 years. So this just, you know, didn't come on like a light bulb switch overnight. This has been growing for the last 40 years. Now, according to Dr. G. Adorno, the science of neurotechnologies that started some 40 years ago has put out warnings all over the place in books and videos and lectures and speeches at universities. And what some people are calling the death cult has been given people warnings according to its rules way ahead of time, and they may be successful. Why is it, the journalist Dr. Peter Koenig asks, why is it that we never take seriously the note of their warnings? Why is it that we're not taking, they are openly warning us about what's coming, and yet we continue to defy historical precedent, and we continue to ignore their warnings. And why is that? Because we do not believe in so much built-in evil in humanity, or because we do not want to believe to leave our comfort zone, our dystopian view of a safe world. They know it. You see, he's breaking down the fundamental dichotomy here. Why is it Christian seminaries and colleges and schools give zero teaching on these subjects that are going to radically shape the future of their children? Well, it comes down to this. It comes down to this. This elite has warned us for decades about what their evil plans are. And we continue to ignore their warnings. And then the question is why? Why? Because we do not believe in so much built-in evil in humanity. So the journalist is saying, are we not believing in their warnings because we don't really believe that kind of built-in evil of such magnitude really exists in humanity? He's challenging us, and he's exposing our hypocrisy. Of course not. All of us know. I mean, look at the pictures of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and the communist revolutions and the revolutions all around the world, the 60 million abortions. All of us know in our heart of hearts, all of us, that humanity is fully capable of unprecedented, unrestrained evil. So the real reason that we don't do anything has nothing to do with the fact that we don't believe that so much built-in evil exists in humanity. The real reason is for why we don't do anything. The real reason is we do not want to leave our comfort zone, our dystopian view of a safe world. We want to maintain this illusion that we live in a safe world, because by choosing to live in the illusion that we live in a safe world, we buy ourselves a kind of cheap counterfeit peace. We buy ourselves a artificial reality that is somewhat drug-like, and we live in a fantasy world. It gives us psychological permission to be cowards. And yes, the Christian church in America, you read the book of Revelation, and there's a list of sins that will keep people out of heaven. And in the book of Revelation, the number one sin listed that will keep people out of heaven is the sin of cowardice. Now, I'm not bragging, but I've preached on the sin of cowardice many times. I have never in my life heard another preacher on television or in real life preach on the sin of cowardice. That doesn't make me better than anybody else. I'm just telling you that cowardice is a sin that is not repented of. It's not acknowledged. Okay, so Klaus Schwab, in his book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, writes in detail about what their evil plans are for humanity. And they are flat out evil. So the way we deal with it is we want to stay in our mental cocoon, our mental comfort zone. And we want to live in the world of evangelical make-believe, where everything is safe, tidy, and nice. But that is fundamentally dishonest. That is just as dishonest morally and spiritually as all the millions of Christians in Nazi Germany who made believe that there were no Jews being abducted, that there were no other people being abducted. And this is just as horrific as all the Christians in Nazi Germany who pretended that there were no concentration camps where millions of Jews and others were burned alive in the ovens, and where millions of Jews were sent to the gas chambers to die agonizing deaths. The way the German Christian people dealt with it is they pretended it wasn't happening. They chose to live in a make-believe world. And the Christian church in America is doing the exact same thing, except this time the game's a little bit different. In Nazi Germany, with Adolf Hitler and the Nazi troops, who were hardcore occultists, who were directly getting their guidance from high-level demons and spirits. Remember, although millions of non-Christians were killed in the concentration camps, the main focus of mass murder was killing the Jews. So Christians felt like they escaped it, you know, they got off easy. There's no guarantee that this second time around Christians are going to be left alone. The hatred towards people of faith, both Jews and Christians, is astronomical. So at least potentially there is a very, very grave and serious possibility that if there is a second Holocaust, a second Nazi-like movie, a movement, there could well be the slaughter of millions of people that are both Christians and Jews. So one would think that those two groups, instead of fighting one another, one would think that just on the basis of survival, that those two groups would find areas of unity and fight their common enemy. Because when you're being sent to the gas chamber or killed some other way, it's purely indiscriminate. Okay, so let's continue to read on as to what's happening. Okay. William Binney, who was an NSA, and Barry Trower, who was with the NSA, were experts in their intelligence agent field. And they explain how they did what they did. And they give a warning. These ex-CIA agents give a very sober warning. Quote from Binney. William Binney was the ex-NSA technical director and whistleblower. Quote, if you are targeted... He means electronically. If you are targeted, there is virtually nothing you can do, says William Binney, ex-NSA technical director and whistleblower. The NSA is the U.S. National Security Agency, one of the 15 U.S. intelligence agencies. Then he says, if you want a lead demonstrator to stop demonstrating, you target his brain with ultra short wave electromagnetic frequencies. Now, I want to say that again. You have pro-life demonstrators. You have people who want to put prayer in schools. You have Christian activism all over the United States. You have legitimate religious activism all over the United States. You have people standing up for their religious freedoms and their freedom of speech. Now, what would an electronic totalitarian dictatorship do to block and paralyze these people from accomplishing their goals? Well, according to these ex-NSA high-level scientists like Barry Trower and William Binney, Listen to the subtle methodologies that are being employed to destroy and cripple Christian leadership, religious leadership, conservative leadership. And I'm going to read it to you again. If you want a lead demonstrator, or if you want the leader of a mass demonstration to stop demonstrating, you target his brain with ultra waves. So you see, there are leaders all over the United States and the world. Many of them are Christian leaders. They're operating lawfully. They're operating within the framework of the Constitution. They're taking advantage of things like freedom of religion, freedom of press, and things like that. And they're law-abiding and they're peaceful. They have no intention of breaking the law. They have no intention of being violent. Now, but they are a threat to the deep state. And let's not be immature. There is a deep state. So they're a threat to the deep state. So maybe in the old days, you'd arrange for these leaders to get killed in a car accident. That happened in my lifetime a number of times. People mysteriously died. A common practice, but it called attention to itself, was when, you know, civil rights leaders, radical activists would be assassinated by gun, like Martin Luther King Jr., and then the suspicious deaths of anti-war activist radicals. And then as this assassination type activity increases, the sophistication of how it's being conducted increases. So now, what some renegade rogue intelligence agencies do is, if they want to stop the leader of a mass movement, or if they want to stop a leader of a mass demonstration, or if they want to stop a powerful charismatic leader, or if they want to stop a leader from carrying out a demonstration, read the very sneaky and stealth-like manner in which they will bring these leaders down. And many are pastors standing up for biblical values. So these two ex-intelligence agents tell us, if you want a lead demonstrator to stop demonstrating, you target his brain with ultra short waves. So they're saying, from a distance, using specific numerical electromagnetic frequencies emitted by cell towers, emitted by dishes, emitted by satellites, and you can triangulate the position of any given leader that you don't like, and then you can take that leader out by zapping that leader with invisible EMF electromagnetic frequency waves, and that will give them a heart attack, that will make them go crazy, that could give them Alzheimer's, that could give them dementia, they could give them acute paranoia, mental illness. The point is, you have electronically attacked their brain in an invisible, covert manner. And this is being done, by the way. So it's not a paranoid thought. And these agents are warning us of this. Okay, so we know by now that 5G EMF waves are a key component in this electronic war against people. And so you can actually zap them from a distance, from another state or wherever. You can zap targeted individuals with electromagnetic frequency waves, much like cell waves being emanated from a cell tower, a 5G cell tower, except the specific frequency is calibrated to bring about as much harm as possible in an invisible and subliminal way. So, without this person ever being aware of what is happening to him, and some of you Christians need to wake up, without a leader being even remotely aware of what's really happening to him or her, you can cause the leader of a demonstration, the leader of a movement, to be barraged with suicidal thoughts as you bathe them in an EMF wave attack. And then you keep bathing them with suicidal EMF waves. And then you create what they call, what the intelligence agencies call, the ambiance of depression. So it looks like to an observer that this leader is just suffering from, you know, I guess a regular clinical depression or regular clinical anxiety. But it starts to get so bad that you're paralyzing their ability to function as leaders. And nobody can figure out why. And the reason they can't figure out why is because they're unaware of how advanced this science fiction-like technology is. And so this is a wake-up call. So Barry Trower, an ex-MI5 microwave scientist and whistleblower, this is what he writes, because he's an expert in this field. Mr. Trower adds that low-level microwaves can cause all sorts of cancers and leukemia, and further elaborates that for the past 40 years or more, the UK government, plus basically all Anglo-Saxon governments, have been lying to their people to protect not only the high-flying profits of these industries of death, but perhaps more importantly, for not divulging the evil objective of total surveillance and enslavement that they have planned. I mean, you need to read this. You need to read my books. You need the light needs to go on in your head. You're in a war, and you're being slaughtered, but you don't know it because you've been shot up with dope, electronic dope. Today, we gradually see what this plan entails. Well, what's the plan? What's the plan that these people are doing? Their collective plan, their evil plan, is they have the all-out evil objective of total surveillance and enslavement that they have planned. So they are running a covert electronic dictatorship takeover, in which they can marginalize, take down, drive insane selected leaders and individuals and cripple them. And nobody knows anything about it because they're unaware of the technology. They don't believe the technology exists. Okay. So the goal is total surveillance and enslavement that they have planned for decades. Today we gradually see what this plan entails. Now listen to the words. This is not science fiction. This is what is happening now. Through electronic telepathy, Trower adds, we are able to monitor the brain. If at one point technology foresaw that tiny, hardly visible chip implants were necessary in the brain to be able to electronically access individual thinking, hence the highly magnetic graphene oxide in many of the COVID vax injections, they may no longer be necessary. Now you can't go into a sleep state. Millions and millions of people were vaccinated. Many of those vaccines contained very microscopic microchips that contains substances like graphene oxide, which turned the human body into a broadcasting system and a receiving system. So you could program, control, make somebody sick, make somebody crazy, all from a long, long, geographic, far, far, far away. and nobody knows what hit them. Now this with the Havana syndrome, they microwave beamed sickness and disease to the American diplomats that were staying in the American embassy. And I don't know, something like 25 American diplomats died of a mysterious cancer. And then they found out that the mysterious cancer was zapped or beamed at them with toxic electromagnetic frequency microwaves. This is heavy stuff. In addition to that, you can choose a target individual, a leader, a politician, or whatever, and you can incrementally zap them, like in the middle of the night or daytime, they won't know. You can zap them, okay, and you can make them suicidal, you can give them depression, and then you can cause all sorts of cancers and leukemia. And so you have countless thousands of people in very high-level positions dying from strange diseases, but these strange diseases were given to them through bursts of electromagnetic frequency weapons. Today, we gradually see that this plan entails electronic telepathy. Trower adds that we are able to monitor the brain. If at one point technology foresaw that tiny, hardly visible chip implants were necessary in the brain to be able to electronically access individuals' thinking, hence the highly magnetic graphene oxide in many of the COVID vax injections, they may no longer be necessary. In other words, we are all vulnerable, vaxxed or unvaxxed, to mind interference through worldwide coverage of 5G short waves. And the worst is that we may not even notice when it hits us. Now, I'm looking at a multicolored series of brain photographs, beginning at 5 years old, going to 10 years old, going to the adult age. And it shows you how you can deteriorate and warp and degrade a person's mind beginning in childhood by zapping them with these invisible EMF waves. Then the author writes, mind manipulations may take many forms. One of them is that people physically hear voices. It is not that people are imagining voices, but they can physically hear voices. It can be anything you want to hear or you are scared to hear. Angelic voices or diabolical voices, to repeat the words of neuroscientists. The technology may have been applied to the U.S. Embassy personnel in Havana, first reported by U.S. and Canadian Embassy staff in Havana. The so-called Havana Syndrome of 2016. This may be a cluster of idiopathic symptoms experienced most abroad by U.S. government officials and military personnel. The symptoms range in severity from pain, ringing in the ears, to the cognitive dysfunction. The Havana syndrome has apparently now also been reported by the U.S. Embassy staff in China. DARPA led a couple of contracts in 2011 and 2012 with the University of California for what is called electronic telepathy, to be able to monitor the brains of people at a distance and determine what they are thinking. Under a separate contract, the university was to investigate sending in signals to the brain of a person, literally sending them messages saying what they must think and do. This is where the technology is today. So that means through an invisible electromagnetic frequency signal, you can tell people what to think, you can tell people what to believe, and you can tell people what to say and how to behave. This is serious stuff. This is very, very serious stuff. And it's growing. And unless... Well, we're going to stop for today, but there's more, which is the overall goal is to create a societal atmosphere where you create terror, you create constant fear to keep people on their toes, to get you used to terror and violence as worse, much worse is to come. If they have their way, and we just comply, roll over, become depressed and passive, instead of rebelling in unison and peace, but strongly rejecting the dominion of a few over us, the many. Curiously, the Fourth Industrial Revolution does not give one single valid reason why all the digitization, transhumanism, total control of humanity is good for humanity and for Mother Earth. Nor does the Great Reset, nor does UN Agenda 2030. We must stop this abuse of humanity, the human enslavement for the benefit of a few. For example, we can do so, among other actions, by collectively and in solidarity disabling the 5G and 6G antennas, by staying away as much as possible from vaxes, from medication altering your brain activities and causing depression and extreme cheerfulness. Stay away from mainstream medication and especially shortwave antennas. Remember, scared people are easily manipulated, and it's one of the end goals to manipulate you according to their will. Okay. God has given us both technological weapons, homeopathic weapons, natural weapons, herbal weapons, breathing, exercise weapons. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, and Christians need to, you better stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to find yourself in a place where the only option you have is the Holy Spirit. God has not left us alone. He has not abandoned us in this situation. We have at our disposal the technology of God, but we need to learn what that is. Then we need to learn how to apply the technology of God. Also, power from on high. Power from on high isn't some cute little Sunday school book story like most Christians treat it. Most Christians treat the authority and the power of God's word and the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Most Christians and Christian ministers treat that with mockery, disdain, looking down on it as if it's something weird and embarrassing. In other words, they're embarrassed by God. They're embarrassed by the supernatural power of God. If we're going to win this all-out spiritual war that we are deep in the middle of, we're going to have to get over being embarrassed or uncomfortable with the supernatural power of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. I want to help you discover this. Visit paulmcguire.us. Grab our books while they're on discount. Spread them far and wide. And let me ask you a question. Are you sitting on your posterior, waiting for God to magically move you and grow you and expand you? Or are you actively cooperating and not resisting the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you cooperating with the call of God? Are you not resisting his exhortation? Are you using your faith to call down the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the joy of God? Are you moving in synchronization with the power and the wisdom of Almighty God, or are you fighting God tooth and nail? Only you know the answer to that. But I'll tell you this, the outcome will be all over our society in the next couple of years. And I think the handwriting's on the wall. We need to stand in the power of Jesus Christ while we still can. I need your financial contributions, your donations, and your gifts to carry out this mission. I need you to become an intercessory prayer warrior with me and others joining this ministry, and I need you to help me fight against the rigging. Join me and others all over the world, all over the United States. This is a winnable war. I'll say it again. This is a winnable war. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.